Today, as we celebrate the birth of Mary, we now recognize that it's 9 months since December 8th, which is the Immaculate Conception. And oftentimes it's confusing because I can remember trying to teach that the Immaculate Conception is about the conception of Mary, not the conception of Jesus. And so some people say, how does Jesus get conceived on December 8th and then born on December 25th? And I said, that's because we have the Annunciation, which is the conception of Jesus, on March 25th. And that's 9 months until December 25th, which is the birth of Jesus. So the Annunciation belongs with the birth of Jesus. Today's feast with the birth of Mary belongs with the Immaculate Conception, which is a holy day of obligation in December 8th, which is not 9 months ago. So that's clarifying at least some of the misunderstanding that seems to be rampant. But one thing I just want to share with you is that that long genealogy that I suffered through for you, and I know you have pity for me because I'd like to have any one of you read those as well, which is often a lot of fun. But the reason that it's a key for us in terms of scripture study is because it roots Mary two things. One, it roots Mary in the history of the Jewish people. So Mary didn't come from just anywhere. God did not just pick anybody, but that we believe, as all of creation, that there was a plan. And if you follow that plan down through, you see that Mary was part of this long history of people. The other thing that's even more interesting about this is if you take a look and study that, there's some strange things that happened in there and very sinful things that happened in that history. One of them being David, who got Solomon, who took Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. So there was a lot of sin that was part of that, that came through that history. That was not a perfect history that Mary had. And that's important for us as well in terms of biblical studies, because we all probably know people in our own families or even in our own immediate family where it's not perfect, but yet God continues to still work. And that's important. That it doesn't really matter that God, even in our own lives, that God does not forsake, nor did he forsake the Israel people, because they had done some really bad things in that history, in genealogy, and in exile and back out of exile. And so this idea of perfection that we seem to think doesn't often follow in the history of the scriptures. That's the other. And then the last thing that's really important is that it roots Mary in humanity. See, one of the difficulties the early church often fought with is trying to figure out who Jesus was, is the idea that Jesus probably just dropped from the sky. You know, like there were these Gnostics who were, it's a part of the history when you learn, that really didn't believe in the humanity of Jesus, that Jesus was beyond human, that it was this super intellect and that he came down, and that some of the Gnostic gospels that we have talk about that instead. Some of the apocryphal gospels, you know, they don't have Jesus rooted in humanity. But the thing about our gospels and the four that they consider divinely inspired show Jesus and Mary rooted right in humanity. Is that God made us and he wanted to save us through us. And that makes us all very important to him. And that it wasn't something from outside that came in and just sort of fixed something, but that he began to heal it from within us. And that makes a great thing, because it makes our lives, our human lives, something that can be sacred, because that's what God had planned. So as we continue the celebration of the birth of Mary, we recognize that our lives are hopefully as significant, you'll hear, in terms of salvation, with what the gift is that Mary has given to the church. And one last thing, just one last thing, because it came to my head. It was not part of my reflection. But when I was studying the spirituality of Mary, one of the questions always talks about the presence of Mary at Mass. How could Mary be present at Mass? And so John Paul II, in one of his documents, talks about Mary has to be present at every Mass because she was present at the foot of the cross. And whenever we celebrate the Eucharist, we go to the cross of Calvary. And when we go to the cross of Calvary and celebrate the Eucharist, at the foot of the cross was always Mary. So her presence accompanies us as well at each Mass, because she was with her Son as whenever we remember the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.